All right, so tonight's service is the same one we've had the last couple weeks. As we move through the 4 weeks of Advent toward Christmas, there are three things that you will need with you. You need the half sheet that has the little person down on the bottom. You need the unfailing light. It's got a black and white cover on it, worship booklet, and then you need your red hymnal. So if you don't have any of those things, this is the perfect time to go get them. We will be skipping around a little bit, so that's part of why I've given you the half sheet, because I think it's a little bit easier to follow. We begin with a couple pieces that are found in the back of the Unfailing Light booklet with Confession and Kyrie, and we'll move around and use a couple of the resources that are in there as well. So with that, after a full day, I invite you to be present to this community and to the presence of the Holy in our midst. We begin with the brief order of confession and forgiveness, which is found on page 20 in your booklets. I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable. We begin in the name of the Creator and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. God does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor punish us according to our guilt, but looks upon us in compassion, forgives our sin, and heals our lives. Therefore, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I invite you to join with me in the bold print. Have mercy, O God.
Against you alone we have sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our sin and take away our guilt. Create in us a new heart and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit and restore your joy within us.
As tender as parent is to child, so gentle is God with you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far east is from west, so far God removes your sin from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God who crowns us with mercy and love.
Blessed be God forever.
We continue with the Kyrie, which is found on page 18.
Lifted up, and the From Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
You're invited, as you feel comfortable, to please join in standing for the gospel acclamation, which is found on page 7. Tell John what you hear and see. Those who are blind receive their sight, Those who are lame walk. Those with leprosy are cleansed. Those who are deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken in the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So last week, which was the second week in Advent, it fell in the midst of our community week here at Holden Village, which means we might have missed the heart of John the Baptist's role in Jesus' life. And I must admit that that was intentional on my part, because I felt that our stories took priority over John's story in community week. So today I want to go back for just a moment to catch us up. John the Baptist, early in the Gospel of Matthew, is the one who's out in the wilderness. He's the one that's preparing the way for Jesus' coming. And he was pushing on the people a little bit, trying to get them to turn from their life-harming choices and challenging the people to open themselves up to the life that Jesus brings. Which is why last week I had us talk about times in our life when someone we respected pushed on us and challenged us. And because we know that that person loves us and believes in us, the pushing, the challenges, the accountability that we had placed on us, well, it felt okay. It feels appropriate, even life-giving. So John, early on in Jesus' story, was the one out in the wilderness. He was the one challenging and holding people accountable. He was the necessary prophetic voice for God's beloved people. And please hear that, God's loved people. He was the push that they needed so that they might open themselves to something far more life-giving. As part of our Advent journey, and I would argue on our journeys in life in general, it's good to notice the places that we need a good push. And it's life-giving to examine the parts of ourselves that need a little accountability. And that was where we're at in John's story in the second week of Advent. And now we arrive here at the third week of Advent, and we are staying with John's story as it skips forward in Jesus' story. We move from last week, we're in Matthew chapter 3 with John, and we skip forward to Matthew chapter 11. Now, in the meantime, Jesus has entered into his full life's work, right? In the chapters in between, he's been teaching and healing. His 12 disciples have become a group of his key followers. He trains them, and he's even already sent them out by chapter 11 so that his life-giving message can reach more people. Stuff is happening. But what of John during this time? The text doesn't actually say anything about John during these chapters. We left him back at the River Jordan in chapter 3. He was the one there calling on people to live into fuller, more life-giving paths and yelling at the religious and political leaders for the corrupt ways. It's the funny thing about calling for life. You can't just walk into a better, fuller life without naming the things that impede you getting there. One cannot work for justice without naming the things that oppress. One cannot work for peace without naming the things that bring violence. And one cannot work in Jesus' name without pushing, without challenging the things that impede Jesus' desire for mercy and forgiveness and inclusion. So John did that. He named the names, he called upon corrupt leaders, and he called out the systems that oppressed people. He named them all. So when we catch up with John in chapter 11, we find him in prison. I should say, he finds himself in prison. Tell me, have you ever felt like you've done the right thing, only to be nailed for it? You know, the times in our lives when we've taken the higher road, followed our heart, trusted in the good of people, even trusted in God, only to be left looking stupid, feeling foolish, and feeling broken. I mean, if Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the leader of all good things, surely his followers would be safe, right? I mean, John could shoot off his mouth and be fine, right? Surely Jesus would be vindicated, and there would be some winning going on. Only John finds himself in prison. And like all of us in his shoes, or sandals as the case may be, he starts to doubt the whole thing. And he asks the question that I believe in many and various ways we all ask. Are you sure you're the one? I mean, are you the one, or should we wait for someone else? Should we wait for something else? Or should we just give up waiting entirely? Because, frankly, I'm feeling like an idiot right now looking at the world. Because surely, if this Jesus person is the Messiah, the right leader for the right time, then things should be coming together, not falling apart. I'm tired of feeling dumb and naive and exposed. I want more winning. Only Jesus doesn't work that way. For the record, John never gets out of prison. He's killed for shooting off his mouth about King Herod's choice in a sex partner. But it's what we do, right? We get a little too self-righteous and we start shooting off our mouths. The church has done this for generations. No wonder people have stopped going. But here's the thing. When it comes to Jesus and critique, please, I beg of you, read the Gospels. Notice who he accuses. It is not individuals. He holds systems and the powerful accountable. He doesn't get all worked up about our dumb choices. The church has, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus would much rather hang out and be among the messed up and getting a bad rap for it than to be winning some foolish battle over who gets to hold power. Ultimately, Jesus' power is in emptying himself of it. We'll be celebrating in a couple weeks how he was born an impoverished child of a migrant family. At the end of his life, he is killed as one falsely accused of treason. What is vindication anyway? So today we stand in the midst of all this and we ask the question. And it is a perfect Advent question. Do we trust Jesus? Should we trust Jesus? And if we take the risk and choose to trust in him, are we ready for the world to think that we're nuts? And I think that's why I like Jesus so much. Why I find myself hungry for his life and his story. Because there's room for the broken, always. And looking a little foolish is just par for the course. But within him, there is a deeper wisdom than winning. There is a firmer compassion. And there is a ready welcome for all to behold. Our hymn is All the Earth is Hopeful. It's hymn number 266 in the Red Hymn Books. We'll be skipping verse 2, just singing 3 verses, so verses 1, 3, and 4. It's hymn number 266. And you can sing it in Spanish or English. I invite you to stand as you feel comfortable.
Thank you.
peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's take a moment to share a word of peace with one another. We turn to our offering hymn, Come Now, O Prince of Peace.
Come.
which is found on page 10, and I invite you to please stand as you feel comfortable.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, the God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ. You comforted the people with your promise of a Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new. In the day he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join in unbending you.
He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Loving Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Creator God, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial, but deliver us from evil.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Please know that all are welcome to this table, as Jesus is the host, and he is the one who invites you to come. You may be seated. Our desire, again, is that there be no barriers between you and this feast. So the first station will have gluten-free, then I will have bread. There's a common cup that you can dip in or drink out of. Otherwise, you're welcome to grab an individual cup, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second pitcher will have grape juice, and then ultimately you can put your empty cup in the final basket. Come, for all is prepared.
Thank you.
Now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith and open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom we meet. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy until at last with all your saints, we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is a lesser sung Christmas tune, Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. It's hymn number 272. And we'll sing three verses again, so we'll do the first two. We'll skip the third verse and go on to the fourth one. So verses 1, 2, and 4. And the hymn is 272. Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, and deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Go in peace, rest in God, and rise to serve. Amen.